Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of the birth of John in Luke chapter 1, verses 56 through 66. This is part of our ongoing verse-by-verse study of the Gospel according to Luke. And you can find all of these studies along with other expository studies of the books of Genesis, Exodus, Psalms, the Gospel of Mark, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, and the book of Revelation, as well as Q&A, prophecy studies, and other topical studies of interest at our website, bbfohio.com. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our attention by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. That's bbfohio@protonmail.com. Or you can also choose to write to us while sending any check or money order contributions you wish to send to this ministry, addressing them to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Donations can also be made at our website, bbfohio.com, using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or by using the drop-down menu on our mobile site, again, at that same address, bbfohio.com. We also want to remind you of our 24/7 internet radio station found at bbfohioradio.com. Listeners from more than 100 countries and all 50 U.S. states, as well as the various U.S. territories, have tuned in and are tuning in throughout each month. And some tell us they listen every single day at bbfohioradio.com. We also ask you to share those websites. Share them with friends and family who use the internet. Post them on your social media pages, bbfohio.com and bbfohioradio.com. And you can have part in this ministry spreading the news that there is free King James Bible teaching available to any who care to tune in. And now we begin this study of the birth of John, Luke chapter 1, verses 56 through 66. This is part 1 of 2. Yeah, keep that door closed. Current events update. Archaeologists and historians only know what they know. Amen? We showed that little clip from ICR about the carbon dating, carbon radioisotope dating and all that. They're not infallible. And this is in the news this week. Archaeologists find what they call game changer, 9,000-year-old Neolithic city just outside of Jerusalem. And they just are all out there saying it's 9,000 years old, and they don't know. We do know it was early in human history, but to date it at 9,000 is really just guesswork. Here's a couple pictures I thought you might be interested in knowing. This is just outside of Jerusalem, and from what I understand, it's the oldest city to be found in Jerusalem or in Israel. But they are, like I said, pointing back to 9,000. Well, I believe it's closer to 4,000, 4,500 years would be probably more accurate, because I don't believe you're going to find cities before the flood of Noah. I believe the Noahic flood, which took place less than 9,000 years ago, would have been about 5,000, 4,500 years ago. I don't have my Bible with my dates there, so and my memory is about as long as my nose, so I'm not going to tell you that dogmatically, but I know it wasn't 9,000. I know it wasn't more than 6,000 years ago. I know it wasn't more than 5,500 years ago. So we narrow it down there when Noah's flood took place, and that's where you're going to find these cities. The story reads, the largest Neolithic city in Israel, a 9,000-year-old settlement, and there is their claim, that is considered a game changer. So you might wonder, why are they calling it a game changer? Well, it's like I said, historians only know what they know. And the Neolithic period is also called the New Stone Age. It's the final stage of cultural evolution. This is their definition. or technological development among prehistoric humans. What's prehistoric mean? Really, it means they're claiming there was history before the Bible. That's what prehistoric really means. It was characterized by stone tools shaped by polishing or grinding, dependence on domesticated plants or animals, settlement in permanent villages, and the appearance of such crafts as pottery and weaving. Let me tell you why that's hogwash. Even today, there are places, there are whole villages and whole regions which have not come into the modern age. And so let's say the Lord did tarry another, 5,000 years. Someone's going to dig up a city from 2019 and say, oh, this obviously dates back to before Christ and probably back to the Neolithic age. And it's right here, right now. Charlie?
They actually talk about that in their knowledge, the study of societies. But there are current Stone Age cultures.
Yeah.
Places right now.
Like
Southeast Asia. America,
and you say, how are they dating them? Well, they aren't, even the carbon dating and stuff, they're not really relying on. They're saying it looks like this, therefore it must be this. And that's just nonsense. The Neolithic followed the Paleolithic period, or age of chipped stone tools, and preceded the Bronze Age, or early period of metal tools. And again, at no time does everybody on Earth live on the same page. It's according to what part of the world, at what time in history, that you'll see different advances being made by different peoples. Yeah, Jen?
I went down to the Appalachian Mountains in the 80s and went to a home that had no running water and no toilets. I mean, that was in the 80s.
Yeah.
You had told me before, I saw it all night.
You must have slipped through a wormhole and gone back in time. So while they speak with such assurance, they don't know. That's the point. They don't know. And that word means something. To know something means you know it, which means it's not going to change next week. Amen? The Bible we know is true. Amen? That's why we don't want you changing our Bibles. And they are constantly revising what they know. That's the crazy thing. They'll say, we know this. And then you have a game changer like the one we're looking at. And they say, this is a quote from the people involved in this, Vardi and Kalali or something like that, over in Israel. So far, this quote, so far it was believed that the Judea area was empty. See? Number one, believe. That is not science. Science is observable and repeatable, confirmable, factual. Everything else is opinion and religion. Believe is a word for religion. So it was believed, and they taught everybody. If you went to school in these areas, they would teach you. The Judea area was empty at this time. How many tens of thousands of people, if they said, I actually believe there were people there, would have got that wrong and been marked wrong and had their score come down? Why? Because the test was based on what they claimed to know, but they don't know. Another comment, quote, it's a game changer. A site that will drastically shift what we know about the Neolithic era. You didn't know what you already claimed to know. You didn't shift. You were wrong. You changed what you claimed to know. And the only point for me in this is for you to realize that a lot of the stuff you're seeing on television and reading in books and being taught in school is hogwash. It's false claims. It's overstated. Evolution is a fact. Baloney. Once upon a time, there was nothing and it exploded. Baloney. At some point in the eons of time, non-living matter became life. Baloney. So much of what we're being taught today and things you hear is baloney. And people just soak it up. And it's just amazing to watch. It's a brainwashing. So this is our rule of thumb, is to appreciate the bones. This is archaeology. Appreciate the bones, but spit out the bull. You know, it comes to the Bible, you eat the meat and spit the bones. But archaeologists want bones. See? So we appreciate the bones, but we spit out the bull. Amen? Amen. We're in Luke chapter 1. We're going to be beginning in verse 56. And in this study, we're going to see the birth of John. We already saw John the fetus. And we're not talking about John the all-ball.
Neither John the all-ball.
Huh?
Neither.
Neither. There's John the all-ball, and then there's John E. the all-ball. John J. Jingleheimer all-ball.
Is he Jingleheimer Smith?
That would have been great if your middle name is John Jingleheimer. John J. Anyway, we're going to read verses 56 through 66. And this account, beginning in verse 56, read those even verses with me. That means you start right there in 56. Read with me. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Okay, two of you have found it in your Bible. Let's give everybody a chance to catch up. It's Luke chapter 1. That's in the New Testament. Chapter 1, verse 56. John Jingleheimer Allball is still turning his pages, so we'll give him a second to get there. He was too busy talking about the etymology of his name. Yeah, that would not.
This is not.
All right, let's start in verse 56. Read with me. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have called him. How he would have him called. I'm dyslexic there for a moment. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, and saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. God's people say amen.
Amen.
All right, that's what we're going to base our study on this week. And we began there in verse 56. Mary leaves as Elizabeth approaches full term with her pregnancy. How many of you know you have to be able to recognize there's a time to stay and a time to go? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We have a wonderful time of fellowship here most of the time, but this week, within a few minutes of us finishing up our study, we're going to close up shop so that we can get over to the China House for food. If you linger, your loss. We'll leave you here. But Proverbs has something to say about somebody who is hated because they don't know when to leave their neighbor's house. I just want to mention that because I've never had anybody in this room do that to me. But Charlie was pressing his luck there right before he moved out. And we had to sell the house and move to a different county before Charlie would move out. And I like to think that we had a part in him finding Olivia. Because he was like, I'm going to have to get a woman get married. They're kicking me out of here. And now we jump right into the birth of John after Mary leaves in verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And what she do? Brought forth a son. She delivers a baby boy. Did they raise him as a boy? Yes. The trans insanity did not exist yet. He was a boy. They raised him as a boy. It is amazing that I have to stand up here and say this. But that's the insanity of our day. I'm going to talk about one little thing here, but I could have showed example after example of people being fired down in Portsmouth at Shawnee State University. They're trying to fire a professor, and the Alliance Defense Fund that we support monthly is fighting for his job. He had a young man come into his class and insist that he be called ma'am. And that professor refused to call him ma'am. And I just remembered I forgot to address something. I'm going to come back to what you and I were talking about a minute ago, Dre. But anyway, this happened. I mentioned it, and some of you hadn't heard about it a couple weeks ago, so I thought I'd show you here. This happened back in March. But Jerry Falwell Jr. says he will raise his granddaughter as a what?
Girl.
Imagine that. Some Liberty University students protest. Christian College, Liberty University. Some Liberty University students are protesting against Jerry Falwell Jr. and his wife Becky after the couple said they would raise their granddaughter as a girl. Mrs. Falwell said, quote, "She's our granddaughter and we're raising her as a girl. We're not letting her have a choice. God makes the choice of what the babies are going to be, and God decided she would be a girl," end quote. Amen. According to the Washington Examiner, the Falwells were speaking at a satellite conservative political action conference event that also featured Donald Trump Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle, a former Fox News commentator. The Falwells also said their granddaughter always has a baby doll with her while their sons grew up around guns. In response, some 30 students at Liberty University carried waving gay pride flags and signs on campus supporting transgender rights. The signs said, quote, "LGBTQ lives matter," end quote, and, quote, "Hate is a choice. Being transgender is not," end quote. Standing with the truth is not hate, and being transgender is insanity. That's what the sign should have said.
Or might as well say black is white and white is black.
Exactly. Or sweet is bitter, bitter is sweet, dark is light and light is dark. That's in the Bible, isn't it? Yeah. This is what Elizabeth Axley, one of the people out there, sophomore, who's demonstrating, who is bisexual. Quote, "We're out here mainly to start conversations, but to also be supportive. Yes, this is a Christian campus, and yes, Jerry Falwell Jr. has insinuated that he does not care about you, but that does not mean that every Liberty student does not care about you. We love you." That's their message. Now, the truth of the matter is, we do care enough about you to tell you the truth. Elizabeth doesn't care about him. She's just, you know, seems content to watch him go to hell. So Elizabeth doesn't care about these people that she's out protesting in support of. Yep, it's all about her. Caleb Fitzpatrick, a senior and demonstrator, said the group was hoping the protest would start productive conversations with other students. You're always in trouble when someone wants to have a conversation about something God's already had a conversation about. Amen. The conversation's over. Quote, "Our hope is to start a conversation that can hopefully lead to change within social perception and university policy. Hopefully we can create an environment where comments like Fridays aren't welcome and aren't normal," end quote.
What?
At Bible Believers Fellowship, Falwell's comments are normal. If you don't like that, get out. This is a church of Jesus Christ. We're here for Bible believers. Anyone who will repent, believe the gospel, and want to be a part of a Bible-believing fellowship is welcome. If you don't think Falwell's comments are normal, you're not welcome. That's true. That's fact. You say, well, no wonder you got empty seats out there. Amen? I'd rather preach to two people than to have a bunch of idiots out there sitting there with their minds totally protesting God's Word. Amen. That's not what a church is. That'd be a fake church, and that's what we got all around us. With few exceptions, there are exceptions, but most of the churches around us are fake. They're not the church of Jesus Christ. They're filled with a bunch of unbelievers, including in the pulpits. Yeah. Jay?
The fact that that Mr. Falwell even had to announce that, that just goes to show you how deep in trouble we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Why does he even said that he feels the need to have to even say that?
Yeah. I call that crazy that he has.
You're right. Amen.
Say that. I don't have to say
absolutely. I want to say one other thing. Dre asked about this before we move on. You heard that the president had a rally and a bunch of people were chanting, send her back. Or send her back. Was it send her or send them back?
Send her back.
Send her back. Well, I want to say something. That's not racist. And the word racism means hardly anything anymore. It's been so abused. A libtard just calls you a racist because they don't like what you're saying. It doesn't have to be racism. If they just don't like what you say, you're racist. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you're as white as Nick's shirt. You come from Germany and England. Or England, I should say. You can't come from both. But you come from Germany, England, the Netherlands, white as can be, if you hate this country, get out. It's not racism. And that's what's going to kill this country is that there are people like Ilhan Omar, who, according to reports, married her brother, committed immigration fraud, tax fraud, and other crimes. People like that are coming to this country and using our freedoms against us, and using our freedoms just like they've done in Britain and Canada and places like that where they're undermining the very...
France.
Yeah. It's just crazy. But all this stuff is just part of... You got to keep your sanity, folks. All this stuff is just part of the end time apostasy, the preparation for Antichrist. Don't let it make you crazy. You know, it can anger you and upset you and everything. That's normal. But just pray about it and ask the Lord to help you. And I'm preaching to myself right now as much as anybody. I see this stuff and it's maddening. But anyway, back to the text. He was a boy, and so they raised him as a boy. And I love verse 58. We were just talking about the Waltons, Sean and Doug. This reminds me of the Waltons right here. Verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. You can just all see all the, you know, John Boy and Jason and Jim Bob and Ben and Mary Ellen and Elizabeth and what? Somebody say?
Jim Bob?
I already said Jim Bob, yeah. What's the other girl? Mary Ellen, Elizabeth, and there's the third one. I always forget.
Aaron,
yeah. And then
I thought there was gonna be a test.
Grandpa and Grandma. John and Olivia. As the mother's name's Livia, and they called her Livy.
Yeah.
And all of them coming out on the front porch with the new baby. Somebody had a baby. And there's an episode later on in the series where I think Mary Ellen does that. But it reminds me of home. I remember when I was a kid, and one of my aunts and uncles would have the new baby, and they'd come, and they would let everybody know, we're going to be at Mom and Dad's house. That was my grandma and grandpa, but they was their mom. Our mom and dad, and we'd all go over there, and they'd show up. They'd make sure they were the last ones to show up, and they'd get out of the car with the baby, and everybody around, oh, let's all spit on the baby and touch it and make it sick. But that's how you get the immune system functioning correctly and all that. So anyway, it just brings up memories. I was reading that, and I was just thinking about the time. I remember real clear when... my cousin Norman was born, because my brother was born. I was four, but I don't remember a lot about it. I still don't have a lot of memories about it, but I remember when my cousin, who was about 8 years younger than me or something like that. But that's an exciting time, and that's what happened. It's real life, folks. These are real people, and they bring home the baby, and it came to pass on verse 49 that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. But we want to look at the first part of verse 9. every male Jew was circumcised on the eighth day, just like John. Now, I've encouraged our kids, I encourage all people, if they can, I believe there's a reason for circumcision beyond just the fact that it was a sign that we'll see in a moment. But I also believe if you're going to do it, it's you got to fight with people. And I can't remember, I don't think Ezra, was it the eighth day when Ezra got his done? It wasn't. And there's a reason why then Ezra, yeah, because they had to give him what? Vitamin K it was or something? And I think I really believe there's a reason why it's on the eighth day, but you have to fight with these doctors and hospitals because they just want to clip them on day two and send the kid home. Yeah. There's scientific, medical reasons for the eighth day. God didn't just pick that willy-nilly. Now, I'm not up here chewing anybody out. They don't do it. I mean, I don't think I was circumcised on the eighth day. I think it was day two or three. And that's the way they do most kids. Because they're not going by what God says. They're going by, oh, well, if we're going to get this done, let's get them up here. Well, some people still are able to work it out where they have the child circumcised on the eighth day, the way the Scripture says. But I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 12. You can see Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 12. Let's look at what God said and see that circumcision was commanded by God. It wasn't just a cultural tradition like they claim today. It wasn't just a religious ceremony or whatever. They'll try to claim that these silly people are just doing what they have done, you know, for generations because it's a religious tradition or whatever. Let's look. Verse 12 begins, chapter 12, I mean. Verse 1 begins, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," verse 2, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation of her infirmity shall she be unclean." So really, if the woman wanted to be there for the circumcision, she didn't have a choice but to wait for the eighth day, because for 7 days she was unclean after the birth. That just means that she got some privacy. Olivia's probably thinking, man, that would have been nice. 7 days where no one could bug me. We're sorry, but we love you and the baby. We couldn't help ourselves. Verse 3, read it with me. "And in the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised." That's all there is to it. 7 days, they got secluded from everybody so mommy could recover. And on the eighth day, they were commanded. Now, don't have time to run all the references, but it's interesting. You go up to Exodus, and angel of the Lord was ready to kill. Well, there's debate whether he was going to kill Moses or his firstborn who had not been circumcised. But somebody was going to die. And so Zipporah, mama, took a sharp stone and circumcised the kid right there on the spot and flew the foreskin, flung it down at Moses' feet and said, "Thou art a bloody husband to me." Yeah, that's in the Bible. You ought to read it. It's a good book. And why did she do that? Because it's like I said, if God says something, that's it. Uzzah. Reaches
for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.